Hi there, this is Erin Nicole, and you're listening to the Move Happy Movement podcast. On this show, I interview people from all over the world. Sometimes I do spirit-led sermons from the divine. In our household, we worship the Holy Trinity, Father, His Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And sometimes I share music with you that I release that the Holy Spirit, honestly, he sends me these like ideas through everyday life experiences. I never know when he's going to send me a song and or a melody or both. Sometimes it's just a melody first. Sometimes it's just lyrics. Sometimes it's an idea of a song. Sometimes I'll just be bebopping and telling a story, and then all of a sudden I'm like, man, that sounds like a good song idea. And then I just go to my journal and boom, he gives it to me in parts or sometimes in whole all at once. It's pretty exciting. It's exciting being myself, but it's also been a long journey. I'm 37, just over that. June was my birthday. Thank you very much. Happy belated to me. I've been through a lot of tragedy in my life, a lot. And you might also. This show is for you if you've been through a lot of tragedy, but you want to keep on getting up and fighting. There is power when we pray. There is power when we get in unison with people that are like-minded, of one accord. Iron sharpens iron. This show is for you if you struggle with depression but you don't want to struggle anymore. He can heal you of everything if you get down on your knees and ask Him to. And you can have an incredible life even if you're diagnosed with depression. And I would say, and especially if you're diagnosed, or you think you might be, because He on purpose allows for His children that are set apart, the true children of the Most High, to experience more persecution, especially if you're in a leadership position. Ministers, preachers, teachers were held to higher accountability. So I'd say that to say the topic today for the sermon is called Prayer Warrior. That's what He whispered to me this morning when I woke up. Yesterday was a stressful day for me. I allowed external things around me to impact my stress, but it also was being bullied, and I won't be bullied any further. Not in this address, at least. I called the authorities. Prayer Warrior. Pray. Pray and speak out loud and believe. Believe what you say out loud, because He says in His word, in His scriptures, ask and ye shall receive whatever you need. There's only 63 days until I get to see my husband, decorated war hero, veteran, one of the top trained assassins of President Trump. I married him last year. I made him wait a year. I met him in 2020. He protected me from this evil group called the Illuminati that abduct children. They sexualize them. They're all over the world. They pay a lot of people to be involved, and you don't even know you're involved in it. They abduct them. They sexualize them. They sell them as slaves, or they harvest their organs, or at the top tier, where they just raised the rates recently. The Holy Spirit reveals to me things that they do because I'm a warrior. I'm a prayer warrior, and I'm a survivor of child abuse, 4 years chronic. It's common, but it's not acceptable, and it should not be acceptable anywhere in the world. So they targeted me for 3 years in this contest, this global mental health contest. And at the top tier level of the Illuminati group, they, in private, sacrifice these children. They torture them. They put them into a fear state, and then they drink their blood to stay looking younger. It is absolutely sick. It's satanic. And a lot of those leaders, a lot of those money-grubbing leaders that are sexualizing children are in our government in America, but not for long. When Trump gets in office, he already said he's going to drain the swamp. And I'm grateful he allocated his resources to keep me alive in 2020 when President Biden's security team asked him to. Biden's team tried to cover it up, because there's a lot of people involved in this Illuminati group, and they were embarrassed because one of their top trained security guys invited me on a date in 2021 a few months after I launched my nonprofit ministry, Aaron Nicole Ministries, the Holy Spirit assigned to me. Now, they all know that I am a survivor of childhood sexual abuse. They all know because I released information in blogs and in social media content. They've been spying in on my tech, they've been reading through my content, and they on purpose sent a married man, the top security man for Biden's team, Blackwater Alumni Group, asked me on a date, told me to wear a very revealing dress, told me where he wanted to meet me. He wouldn't pick me up. He wanted me to meet in Nashville, Tennessee. There was many people involved in it. He told me he had over 1,000 acres. 6 months before that, he only had 150 to 200 acres on the border of Georgia and Tennessee. But his address is Michigan. Things aren't lining up. So when he told me he had over 1,000 acres, I said, well, does he live in Michigan? Or does he live in Tennessee and Georgia? Either he's lying or they paid him over 850 acres and asked him or demanded him to get me on camera performing oral sex. That's what he asked me to do, and he whipped it out. We're going to forgive him discreetly because I'm a prayer warrior. I'm a child of the Most High King. And I've been assigned this mission in life. It was assigned to me in 2018 from the Creator of the universe to be the person to help you with depression. Wherever you're at in the world, I am the assigned person to educate and empower people to find happiness from within. I was just praising the Savior this morning, and I was journaling, and I said, Father, thank you for loving me so deeply and fervently. Nobody is going to be disrespecting me ever again. They can try. But you fight my battles for me. And then he started giving me verses. So I'm going to read you some of these scriptures, and then whatever comes out is whatever comes out. I don't pre-plan these things because that's what my husband, my hero of 2020, my husband trained me on. He said, if you're really in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, it's not pre-planned. The Holy Spirit takes over. If you really trust in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, then it's not pre-planned. It cannot be pre-planned. So the first verse, if you want to take notes, if you aren't driving, if you are driving, you can listen to this a second time when you're not driving and review it at any point in time, as long as it's available on the internet. I pay for it to be on the internet, but many of the Democratic team removed it off of the platforms that I had added it to, which is illegal. So I believe very soon they'll be fixing that for me. I applied for it to get on iHeartRadio. It was on iTunes, which used to be called, I think it's called Apple Music now, or wherever the podcasts are playing on Apple products. Spotify, it was on there. They added it to Google Podcasts for me. I didn't add it on there. I don't mind it being on there. I would like it wherever people listen to podcasts, and I don't desire for people to remove my content off of places that I've applied and added and worked to have it be added to. That's bullying. That's digital bullying. And that's just going to make you have to pay me more on October 17th's meeting. I can't wait to see you all. All right, Exodus chapter 34, verses 14 through 16. Do not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Be careful not to make a treaty with those who live in the land, for when they prostitute themselves to their gods and sacrifice to them, they will invite you, and you will eat their sacrifices. And when you choose some of their daughters as wives for your sons, and those daughters prostitute themselves to their gods, they will lead your sons to do the same. So be careful. The Lord above all lords is a very jealous father, and he does not desire for anyone to prostitute themselves. He does not desire for you to worship other gods, other idols, inanimate objects, or any of those things. He designed sex for marriage. He designed it between a man and a woman. If you can't focus solely on the Father alone and be celibate, then he desires for you to be married. Now, there is talk in the Old Testament where he even forgives those that get out of alignment of that. Abraham was told from his wife Sarah to sleep with the maid. I can't remember what the maid's name was. It happens because Abraham was promised that through him and Sarah, they would have all of these people, all of these generations would come through them. But they were getting up there in age, and so Sarah lost her faith a little bit. So husbands, it's your job to respectfully remind your wives when they are getting off track. Remind them, no, this is what the Father says. You are men, you're supposed to be the head of household. And so he ended up sleeping with the maid, got her pregnant, and then she gave birth to Ishmael. So they're living in this tribe. And then Sarah gets jealous, even though Sarah told him to sleep with the maid. And now the maid followed through with her assignment, right? I'm sure the maid didn't want to do it. She was forced. God didn't like that. I don't think he liked that at all, but he allowed it to happen. So then he has to decide. Sarah's like, it's either me or it's them. So he had to kick his son out with the maid that his wife told him to sleep with. Kicked him out of the tribe. So then they started their own tribe in a different area, and he was still able to later on. I think she was 80 years old and he was 90 when they had their first child together. So anything's possible. But you gotta pray. You gotta pray deeply, and you gotta confess to the Father above if you make mistakes. He is a jealous, very jealous God. And he desires for us all to focus on him, number one. All right, next verse is Psalms 94:19. This is actually what is tattooed on my body, the reference. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy to my soul. That is the NIV translation. I had learned a different translation to it. When anxiety, let's see, how did it go, Father? I can't remember. It might come to me later on, but had learned a different version of it. So you can speak this out loud. The anxiety is not of the Father. So when I'll read it again to you. This is Psalms 94:19. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy to my soul. He is a counselor. He is the ultimate counselor. Speak that out loud if you're feeling anxious. I promise you, your situation will get better. Speak it out loud and believe it to be true, and thank him. Thank him for providing that for you. Oh my goodness, the word is so powerful. The Holy Spirit is just such a supernatural being. I'm so grateful that he trusts me. So Isaiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 9. So Isaiah is in the Old Testament a little bit, a few books after Psalms. Okay, here we go. It will be as when a reaper gathers the standing grain and harvests the grain with his arm, as when a man gleans heads of grain in the valley of Rephaim. Yet some gleanings will remain, as when an olive tree is beaten, leaving two or three olives on the topmost branches, four or five on the fruitful boughs, declares the Lord of God of Israel. In that day, men will look to their Maker and turn their eyes to the Holy One of Israel. They will not look to the altars, the work of their hands, and they will have no regard for the Asherah poles. That is what many of the people worshipped, was the poles. Back to the verse. And the incense altars their fingers have made. Some of these faith systems worship using incense. They worship their ancestors and different things like that. The Father didn't like that. He said, no, you need to worship me, not created beings that I created. Verse 9, let's see, how far do we go? Yeah, verse 9. In that day, their strong cities, which they left because of the Israelites, will be like places abandoned to thickets and undergrowth, and all will be desolation. Yes, Father? He says, speak this out loud. What is it, Father? This is what is happening in America right now, he says. What else, Father? This is what is happening in all major nations. A change is coming soon. Get back in alignment with the Father. Okay, he says move on to the next verse. Okay. Malachi. This is such a good verse. So this is Malachi is found in the Old Testament. And the Old Testament and the New Testament are just distinguished between before Jesus was born. So the Old Testament is everything leading up to from the beginning of creation to when Jesus was born. So Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament right before Jesus' birth. So the next books after that is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So it's kind of about halfway in the middle of the book in the Bible. So Malachi chapter 4, verse 3. This is a really good one to read if you are being attacked at work, if you're being attacked financially, if you're being attacked emotionally, spiritually, whatever. You speak this to yourself or you write it on a card and you read it in your car on your way to work. Then you will trample down the wicked. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I do these things, says the Lord Almighty. So you got to believe it to be true. I'm going to read it again. Then you, he's speaking to you, then you will trample down the wicked. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I do these things, says the Lord Almighty. What does that mean to be ashes? That means to be destroyed. He ain't playing around. If people are messing with children of the Most High King, he don't like that at all. So speak it aloud, and nobody will bother you. They can try, but that's what you call 911 for. Okay. James chapter 3, verse 11. James is in the New Testament. James was, I think he was one of the disciples. I'm still learning. You don't have to know everything and be called into ministry, but you should be growing every year and learning more. So I can't wait to learn more. This contest has been beyond challenging. It's not been fun, but I'm obedient to the Lord above all lords. And we got 63 days until I see my husband. That'll be a year and a half of not seeing my own husband after 19 days of marriage because they put a death threat on our lives when he tried to retire from this defunded organization that protects all the presidents. They had that much disrespect for their security team members. So I'm standing up for my husband and I'm standing up for all of these security members that protect all the presidents around America. It's unacceptable what happened. It's the truth. And I didn't die. He loved me so much. He knew what was going on. His expertise in his decades of doing this job for America, protecting our nation, they royally disrespected him when he asked to retire. So I called my associations that the Holy Spirit told me to call, regardless of political affiliations, because they've blocked me from growing my businesses for 3 years, and then they tried to have my husband and me killed when they sent me to him to receive protections in 2020, and now they're trying to arrest President Trump. Bunch of liars in the government, and we're going to drain the swamp. I can't wait. So you need to be on guard. We are in the end times. Even if people say they are Christians, there's supposedly 2 billion churches of the Catholic and Christian faith in the world. 2 billion. That was the last time I looked at statistics online. I think a lot of churches have been shut down because of the terrible pandemic economy. But the ironic thing is the Sound of Freedom movie revealed, if you haven't seen it, go watch it, the largest growing, fastest growing industry in the world is child trafficking. Yeah, so their business is continuing to grow. That's not acceptable. Because it's a dark, dirty business that's illegal. So every major nation is starting to release documents saying that they do not allow for slavery because it's real, it's been happening, and nobody likes to talk about it. But people started stepping up and paying financially, backing it to make it a movie to get us all aware. Darkness has to hide, has to do things in private. Light. There is no shame where there is light and love. That is why I have been attacked for 3 years. They've tried to steal every single part of my joy because many of them are satanic practicing evil people, and they will pay even Christians. They will pay them whatever it costs because they have all the money in the world. But I married the best trained assassin of President Trump, and nobody bullies Aaron Nicole. So James chapter 3, verse 11. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? Keep reading, Father. Okay, he says, keep reading. My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Okay, he says, keep reading a little bit further. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Okay, so stop right there and talk a little bit. So that's such beautiful words, what I just read. What I got out of it, you might have gotten something different, but what I got out of it was all of the tests they've put me through in the last 3 years. Many of them were testing me because of the contest to see if I truly am the chosen person. They all thought that I was the chosen person. They were testing me, and I was competing for the United States ambassador position for mental health. And they didn't know me like my husband knew me, because he and I rolled together for 2 months off grid. He knew my value right away. He desired to marry me right away. The Lord assigned me the position in the world to help people with depression, not United States only. He assigned me to be responsible for 1.56 billion, with a B, humans. As of today's date, that's how many people in the world are struggling with depression after the global pandemic shutdown. Whatever research data you see online is not accurate. The Lord knows all of our hearts and minds. The Lord knows who's able to get diagnosed and who's not. The Lord knows who's apprehensive to be treated by doctors. Like my father was apprehensive until he turned like 60 years old. He only had a few years. He passed away when he was 64. I knew when I was in college, and I knew before college, but I knew very specifically in college, and I had research to back it up to help him get out of it, get out of his depression from Dr. Hacker, who was one of my favorite professors. I had two favorite professors there in my physical education program. She was one of my favorites because her standards were so high, and she spent an entire lecture in one of her classes because she knew there was a lot of people that struggle with depression, and she decided, out of all the content in the textbooks, she decided to have an hour lecture, or it might have been even a 70-minute, I forget how long the classes were. It was, I think, twice a week, 90 minutes, something like that. I soaked up every single word she said. I wrote down copious notes, and then I wrote my dad an email from my school email. What's that, Father? Rice Ian, I think, at plu.edu. And I BCC'd Dr. Hacker, which means blind carbon copies, so she could see what I sent my father, but he didn't know that I sent it to her. And I told him about all of the powerful things that movement can do for your mood, that it's way more powerful than drug therapy. That's what the metadata research states. That's what she said. She worked with Olympic athletes. I trusted her judgment. And she said, bedridden patients, bedridden, clinically depressed patients that couldn't even get out of bed. They found in the research, this was back in like 2005, I think, or 6 when I took her class, that just 5 minutes a day of getting up and moving, just 5 minutes of movement, any movement, cardio, I think it did specify cardio movement, so something that got your heart rate up consistently, but even as little as 5 minutes helped improve their mood. I can't remember now, because it's been so long, how long it improved their mood, but when I emailed my dad, I emailed him very specific numbers, science, data, research, and then I invited him. Because I loved my dad. I love him. He's dead, but I love him, and I know his spirit lives on forever. And Wednesdays were his days off from work. He was the bread guy. He delivered bread to the different grocery stores. He was the vendor. But I was in college for Oro Wheat that got bought up from Bimbo Bakeries. The Mexico company owns them. Last time I checked, at that time they did. And I invited him on Wednesdays. I said, Dad, I know it's your day off, and I know that you like to go to the movies. But what if you do the movies, and then you come over to school? I lived on campus at that time, and I said, what if you come to campus, and you and I go on a walk together? That was it. I just wanted to spend time with him. That's what education does to you. When you get education that can impact your family, taught from a confident person that uses science, data, and research, you take action if you love your family. And I loved my dad. And so we started walking on Wednesdays for a while I was there. And sometimes he couldn't do it because it hurt his body, because he devoted his body to working very hard, getting in and out of a truck. He had knee replacements. I think it was after college. I can't remember exactly what year he had his knees replaced, but his body was in a lot of pain, and he didn't talk about the pains. He was a cancer survivor. One of the strongest people. If you ever had a chance to meet my dad, one of the strongest, kindest, most loving people to people outside of our home. Excuse me. But inside our home, he was very depressed because he could be himself. And it was very draining. I think he was in a job that he, well, I know he was in a job that he hated, but he thought that he had to do that job in order to provide for all of us instead of us all stepping up and having conversations about how we could help him get into a job that he loved and work together as a family. For a while, when I was in elementary school through high school, we all did. We all stepped up and we got a paper route and we had it together as a family for 9 years. I am deeply connected to my family. And I am a prayer warrior. And I learned how to be a prayer warrior from both of my parents. They are on the prayer team at church. He started stepping up in the last couple decades, I'd say, of his life in the church, started volunteering to be an usher at their church, and was a part of, they had a Bible study for, I think it was for married couples on Tuesday nights, and I think my mom still goes to it even though he died, because she's been friends with these people for decades. She's been going to that church since I was 10 years old, and I'm 37, so 27 years. The church name has changed a few times. The church ownership has changed a few times. But when they shifted to go to that church, it was Clover Creek Bible Fellowship. Dad desired to get plugged in to the church and start taking his faith seriously. And they never left that church body. They never left it. And my mom would pray for the leadership. She would pray for the pastors. My mother would counsel pastors. She would counsel even Mr. Krause. He would open up to her about his personal things. That's between he and her. I was surrounded by prayer warriors my whole life. And so I share you nothing but the truth on this show to help you, because I struggled with my own depression for most of my childhood in secret and private because of the evil, nasty, forcing me to be a sex slave to my oldest brother. That's what I was. I was his sex slave. I never thought of it until just now, but that's what I was. He used his power, his dominance, and he would either be violent or he would get me to do sexually inappropriate things. It was all in order to control, to use his power. That's what many men do to women. And that is why they tried to kill me in 2020. They first received payment in 2018 and they waited 18 months. Excuse me. And I've had to change jobs. I used to drive for Lyft. That was my second favorite job ever, because I got to meet new people every day. And I was driving in Nashville, Tennessee. And you never know who's going to be in your back seat. I made many quality connections in the car. I developed two alternative therapies in my car. I drove off and on. I started it in Seattle, Washington, where I'm from. Well, about an hour south of Seattle. But the money is in the big cities if you're driving for Lyft and Uber. And I used to do both. I was one of the original OG drivers in Seattle market. And then when I moved across the country to help my family member transition to single parent life, I didn't realize how much more groceries were, like food, everything cost more. There was taxes on food here where there wasn't taxes on food in Washington. There was a lot of different laws, and it is what it is. So I had to get a second job. So I started driving for Lyft, and then sometimes I would do it full time. These people that once I entered this contest in 2020, these people on purpose sent people into my back seat to try and have me killed. This man told me he was a captain of the firefighters, added me on Instagram. I had just launched my ministry that year. That was before my hero reconnected to me. He got in my back seat, and I told him about my concerts that I had started hosting for veterans and first responders for free to connect them, pro-social activities online through Zoom. I paid for it all myself. I paid for, I should take that back. I paid for everything that I could afford to pay, and I received donations from Micah, who's one of my platinum customers and first donor to the ministry. Super cool dude. He publicly shared that he is a patient in our therapy experience in 2020 in front of the top security man of President Biden. And he actually donated money to that man's nonprofit from, it came from my account because I said 30% of your ticket sales goes to a mental health organization of your choice. Would you like it if I donated to this other person's charity from the event? I think it would be a great building block for you to connect to them. He said, sure, absolutely. He didn't have to do anything. I did it for him. And that was at the beginning of 2021. And then, let's see, when was that? I was starting to drive. I worked at the post office, but they kept forcing me into the vehicles that didn't have air conditioning. After I had an asthma attack at work and I asked them to modify the work environment, I asked them to go in vehicles that had AC, but they didn't care because they treat everybody like slaves there if you don't have a contract, because Amazon has taken over. That's what it is. 12 to 14 hour days, 7 days a week. No day off. I had to beg for days off. I made sure my concerts, I had those off. Everybody stepped up to help me because I said, no, this is for veterans and first responders. This is what the Lord assigned to me. Now, I will get another job if you don't allow this. If you block me from this ministry, this is my ministry. Freedom of religion. So they made sure they gave me the time blocks off for the concerts. I had to deal with so much BS, working full time, moving, coming out of homelessness, all kinds of things. It didn't kill me. But I had had enough of the post office, people bullying me and not accommodating, breaking laws, American Disabilities Act, breaking laws. I have asthma and they didn't modify the workplace environment. So I started driving Lyft full time because I was like, I can make more money doing Lyft and I can control my hours. Nobody's going to bully me. Nobody's going to put me in a vehicle where I'm having an asthma attack where I could die. I could literally die. One of my students, I didn't know her personally, but at the school, at the elementary school I worked at in Spanaway, Washington, it was one of the, let's see, what was the name of the school? I can't remember the name of the school, but Mr. Strickards worked there. I was in choir with his daughter in junior high, in high school. She was the valedictorian. She was like the president of our high school. Yeah, Jackie. She used to be Strickard. She's got a different name now because she got married. That's life. I worked with her dad. I got to work with her dad that year. Really cool school. One of the ladies in the office told me the year before I got there, you be careful as the bees are coming out. I said, what do you mean? She goes, you be careful. These kids, if they're allergic to bees, we had one of our students. She got dropped off from a single parent, just happened to be dropped off wrong place at the wrong time. Her mom had to get to work. She's doing her part, doing the best she could. She dropped off her daughter at school because they couldn't walk to school because it was dangerous for them to walk from wherever she lived. There wasn't a sidewalk. So for whatever reason, the school bus didn't pick her up. Maybe she was outside the boundary lines and her mom had to move and then she was going to have to change schools, but her mom didn't want her to change schools. I don't know what the story is, but what I know is that her mom dropped her off. She got stung by a bee, and none of the staff were at the front. It was locked. The staff were in their meeting in the middle of the school. She was banging on the door for her life because she had been stung by a bee, and she was going into anaphylactic shock. And they didn't have a nurse there because the nurse traveled to 3 schools because the school district was broke. Because it was a broke area, very poor neighborhood. Schools get allocated resources based on the salaries of the people that live there. And if they vote for bonds and levies, bonds are for buildings, levies are for people. I learned that in high school because Mr. Krause got us calling and getting into politics, helping us to be advocates for our music program and whatnot. But anyways, as a teacher, I'm in the lunchroom, in the break room, and they told me that she died on the school property, a sixth grader, probably 11 or 12 years old, from a bee sting, because they didn't have a nurse there. The nurse aide didn't know. She could give her, in an emergency situation, she could give her an inhaler as a Band-Aid to then transport her to the ER for emergency EpiPen or whatever medicine they give. I learned real life that you could die from asthma. And the post office in 2021 did not modify the work environment for me when I had an asthma attack in front of all my coworkers inside the facility, because they didn't provide air conditioning even inside the facility. Multi-billion dollar profitable business in America, over 150 years old. And even after I had an asthma attack, they still kept forcing me to go into the vehicles that are from 1982 or whatever, that don't have air conditioning. They started to slowly transition vans that had air conditioning, but even the vans that had air conditioning, if you hit your brake, the AC turns off because it's eco-friendly, because they're cheap and they don't want to use the air conditioning to take care of their employees. So I started driving for Lyft again because my life was in danger at my job, federal government job. So many laws have been broken in the last 3 years. So many organizations are going to be donating to Erin Nicole Ministries, and we're not going to be suing. If my husband says we're going to sue, we're going to sue, but I don't really want to waste resources in the courts for when people can just send us the money, because they know. All of my tech has been heavily watched the last 3 years from President Trump's security team and all the security teams that are tired of all the BS in our nation. I can't wait for Trump to get back in office. So I started driving for Lyft, and I was talking with this person. He had convinced me that he was a captain of the firefighters. He was a dark-skinned person, and he looked like he had a little bit of Middle Eastern in him and a little bit of black in him. I didn't ask him. It's none of my business. I don't judge people. What I do, though, is I pay attention if my life is in danger. And when I reconnected with my husband, I showed him the Instagram channel of the person that had followed my page and said, sure, I'll give you my email address for your concert series. He scanned his eyeballs to take a photo of my Instagram account. You're like, what does that mean? Visualize someone scanning you up and down with their eyes. He told me he took a photo of it. I said, what do you mean you took a photo? He goes, oh, I got these contacts. I said, you have contacts that take photos? He said, yeah, it's a Google thing. I was like, oh, okay, have a nice day. He's like, you too. He was super friendly. That's the scariest kinds of people, that are super friendly, that take photos of your profile and give you very specific information that's tied to your ministry. Yeah, in your back seat. So my husband believed, before we got married, he said, I believe they hacked into Lyft. And they on purpose somehow planned to get a ride from you, Erin, and got in your back seat. He read the profile name. He was very protective of me because he kept me alive, and he got all of his buddies to keep me alive in 2020. And he seen it was Middle Eastern writing in the name. I couldn't read what the guy's name was, so I showed him what the profile looked like on Instagram, and his eyes got so big. He said, you need to be careful who you allow in your car. Can you get a different job? And I was like, I can, but I really like the time freedom of this one. It's one of my favorite jobs. I have so much joy and energy by the end of the day. And then in 2022, after a couple job changes, I was hit by a car when I had a customer in my car. I was driving him. He was a cool dude. I was driving him. He wanted to pick up some liquor at the store, and I was going to take him back home, so he was being responsible. And we got hit at a light, at a stoplight in Clarksville, Tennessee. And it wasn't like painful, but I definitely felt the car jolt. And I said, "Did we just get hit?" He goes, "Yeah, we definitely got hit." So I was still at the red light, so I just flipped a U-ey and I went after him because my customer told me to. He said, "Get him, he turned left." So we got his license plate information. He backed into a driveway. Here's what I think. Is that all right for me to share this, Father? All right, this is what I think, and I could be wrong, but I think it was my husband's buddies. I think it was his buddies that on purpose hit my car very slowly to get me off the app, off of Lyft, because I told him the day before, I said, "I don't think I'm supposed to drive on Lyft anymore." He goes, "Yeah, right." I said, "No, seriously, the Holy Spirit told me something bad's going to happen. The next day, I get hit by a car." Yeah. And then Lyft refused to pay and fix the damages. And then they wouldn't let me back on the app for no reason. Car accident wasn't my fault. Why didn't the maps work anymore? I think it was my husband and his buddies protecting me because they knew that I liked this job, but this job was putting my life in danger. So I had to leave my second favorite job. I've had to just keep focusing on the joy of the Lord is my strength. And there is no job that's worth your life. Ladies, if you're listening to this, there is no job that is worth your life. I've had to change jobs and get more jobs added to my resume because people have tried to kill me since 2018, but I'm still standing. In fact, I'm standing way taller now. I married the best man in the world. It goes way beyond politics, but it does relate to business. And Trump is a businessman. You might not like him because of the media and all the Illuminati people that tell lies in the media. The people that sexualize and abduct children. Yeah. You might have been tricked by watching their very convincing videos. Yeah. I bring you nothing but the truth on this show. I bring you nothing but the truth. So being a prayer warrior means that you speak out loud what's going on to the Father, but you also speak out loud His scriptures. So these scriptures that I gave you are from what the Holy Spirit gave to me for this sermon. This is the first time where I've had a little bit of pre-planning, where He told me this is the topic of your sermon today, and then boom, He gave me verses. I read through them first, and I wrote them each down. So I'm going through my Bible, and I'm finding them for you, and I'm reading them to you in the NIV translation. I encourage you to read them in different translations. Find one that you like. If you don't like NIV, find a different one. I used to read, what was the one I read in high school, Father? It was like New Living Translation, I think it was. I like the Amplified Bible. I think it's Minister Joel, or Minister, I'm mixing the two names up, Joyce Myers. I think she reads from the Amplified. I think Pastor Joel sometimes reads from the Amplified. There's so many different translations. I don't speak Hebrew and Latin. I'm learning, and through the Google Translate and other translation services online, like Babbel and Duolingo, and there's a few others on there, online, I'm learning, and the Holy Spirit is equipping me in foreign languages, but it's not my wheelhouse, so He's healing my mind and doing all kinds of supernatural things. So get time in the scriptures. That's going to make you a better prayer warrior. Joshua chapter 4. verses 2 through 11. Here we go. Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests stood, and to carry them over with you, and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua, and they carried them over with them to their camp, where they put them down. Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and they are there to this day. Now the priests who carried the Ark remained standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything the Lord had commanded Joshua was done by the people, just as Moses had directed Joshua. The people hurried over, and as soon as all of them had crossed the Ark of the Lord, and the priests came to the other side while the people watched, the men of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh crossed over, armed in front of the Israelites, as Moses had directed them. All right. 12 tribes. Moving on, he says. Moving on. All right. So I got a couple verses in the New Testament, flipping back and forth between the old and the new, because the creator of the universe is the father of all of us, and he is the same all times. He is of the Old Testament and of the New Testament. Let's see, Corinthians. Okay. All right, we're going to Philippians. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. How do I know all those verses like that? Well, I was in Awana when I was a child, and my mom was in Bible study groups, and then she'd sing the songs of learning the books of the Bible. And one of the singers at our old church, we used to go to Life Center as a big church in Tacoma, Washington, where they had the singing Christmas tree. Last year was the last year they had the singing Christmas tree. I wanted to fly out to see my mom because she performed in it. It was the last year they ever did it. But I couldn't because of all of these people that have blocked me from making money and forced me into homelessness. I've missed out on my time with my family, but this assignment that the Lord has assigned me is more important than my family. I love my family, but they are number two. Well, my husband is number two, and then my family is number three. The Lord is number one, and I'm obedient to his calling. So Philippians chapter 4, verse 12. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And if you know verse 13, you're probably speaking it out loud right now. If you don't know, I'm going to read it to you. Is that all right, Father? He says, yeah, go ahead. Philippians 4:13, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Chapter 4, verse 19. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. So when you pray out loud, you pray and you thank the Father for giving you all of your needs in his perfect timing. He will give you everything you need when you ask. When you ask Him to, say, Father, this is my need. If you spend quality time with Him all day and you pray and you communicate with Him, He desires a relationship with us. He does not desire for us to be religious people that are so structured on all the rules in society. What He desires for us is to spend time with Him, to stay close with Him. And the fruit of the Spirit will be evident in your life if you're spending quality time with Him, if you choose to be loving and kind to others. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, long-suffering. If you choose those things on a regular basis, even if you make a mistake, He is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins, all of our unrighteousness, and cleanse us and wipe the slate clean. So that means we need to also allow for other people to make mistakes, to show them mercy when we could send them to prison, like all of these people on the presidential team for Biden that committed all kinds of treason, all kinds of laws broken. I don't desire for any of them to die. I do not desire for the man that tried to have me suck his penis in Nashville, Tennessee, in public, in the middle of the day, because he was paid over 850 acres to do it. I don't desire him to die, or his family to die. And I know he won't. I know he will not, because the Lord told me that I am to keep His name discreet and never speak His name aloud. And I've won this contest. I have won. This prayer warrior spirit within me has grown a lot in the last 3 years. A majority of the last 3 years has not been enjoyable for me. That is long suffering for you. That is the fruit of the Spirit, long suffering. I've been patient. I have been kind. I have had lots of long suffering. I have been treated so ridiculous by human beings. I just try to stay out of people's way. And people go out of their way to be rude to me, or hack into my devices and bully me, or pay people to take photos of my information in my own bedroom that I pay for when I'm at work, and think that I'm not going to catch them in the act. I was trained by the best security man in the world, and the Father reveals things to me. And all of the bad people that got paid out got caught, and so now they're scrambling amongst themselves. How do we fix this? How do we fix this situation? It took over 18,000 men and 5 women to try and damage my reputation in the last 3 years. I do not give an SH of what you say about my reputation. The Lord is in charge of my reputation. There was over 17,400 and like 7, such a weird number. People tried to have me killed 14 times since 2018 when the calling was put on my life. Because demonic forces are real, but angels of light are more powerful than angels of darkness. And the Holy Spirit revealed to me last month when I was stuck in Jasper, Indiana. Just happened to get hit by a car there. And I was stuck in a hotel because none of the churches had emergency housing assistance for a fellow minister. I had to pay my month's rent in 3 days. I had to trust that the Father was going to provide for me because credit card companies had maxed my credit, even though I moved my money over to a different one. They were illegally profiting off the cash flow of the debts, which is what they do because they're rich and they get away with it. But my husband is a top trained assassin, and he don't let nobody harass his wife. Even though I haven't been able to speak to him, he's got friends looking out for me all over the world. And it was then when I was doing a sermon in that hotel room that the Holy Spirit revealed to me that I have over 1,250,000 angels that guard and protect me. I was like, whoa, are you serious, Lord? He said, yes, you are my child, and you have chosen love. You have chosen to be kind. No one will harm you. Just one of the angels. Just one of the angels that guards and protects me slayed 125,000 men in the Old Testament. What's that, Father? Oh, he wants me to go to another verse. I ain't afraid of nobody. Nobody bullies me. Yesterday was my final straw of being disrespected in this home that I'm a paying customer in. Alright, what verse, Father? 2:3. Malachi, chapter 2:3. Old Testament, last book of the Old Testament. We read from there earlier in the sermon. Because of you, I will rebuke your descendants. I will spread on your faces the offal from your festival sacrifices, and you will be carried off with it. Keep reading, Father. Okay, he says yes, keep reading. And you will know that I have sent you this admonition so that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord Almighty. My covenant was with him, a covenant of life and peace, and I gave them to him. This called for reverence, and he revered me and stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and nothing false was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and turned many from sin. For the lips of a priest ought to preserve knowledge, and from his mouth men should seek instruction, because he is the messenger of the Lord Almighty. But you have turned from the way, and by your teaching have caused many to stumble. You have violated the covenant with Levi, says the Lord Almighty. So I have caused you to be despised and humiliated before all the people, because you have not followed my ways, but have shown partiality in matters of the law. Okay, the Lord said wrap it up right there. So that is what has happened to Erin Nicole and to many citizens of America in the last 3 years, and citizens of the world, because of this nasty Illuminati group. So there is a hope for you. There is a hope, and his name is Jesus Christ. If you don't have a personal relationship with the Father, his Son, and the Holy Spirit, you can have it at any time. It is free, but none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. So if you're not sure you've made that commitment, you might as well do it right now. So repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this gift of salvation. I can't earn it. I can't buy it. You give it freely to those who believe in your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I ask you to forgive me of all my mistakes. Come into my heart and never leave my side. I pray this in your name. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer for the first time, we want to welcome you to the family. Your next steps are to get plugged in to a Bible-based church. Keep God first place. And what should be our ask, Father? Okay, he says, pray for peace for my intestines. The level of stress I've been under in the last 3 years is beyond comprehension. There's no way that I could have survived all of this and not been hospitalized for psychiatric treatment. I've never ever been hospitalized for psychiatric treatment, although they did add illegally mental health diagnoses from a phone call they illegally recorded and traced in 2020. They're going to remove that and they're going to correct it. What I am aware of that I was diagnosed with is depression and anxiety. I don't know if it was general anxiety or what, because my doctor, my pediatrician, never told me what I had. And then I was never told from Dr. Lee, who was an awesome doctor, Asian doctor. He was my mom's doctor, and I started seeing him. He was a great active listener. He combined traditional Western medicine with Eastern medicine, and he gave me information about medications to take. He said, if you take it longer than 6 months, it can impact your brain, your memory. I don't want that for you. You're a smart person. So take this for no longer than 6 months. He gave me good, valuable, credible information. And I had validated that information with one of my friends that was on anxiety meds or depression meds or whatever for like 12 years, and her doctor didn't tell her that. Long-term permanent damage to her brain. Yeah, no good. So pray for my intestines. I've had last few weeks I've had a lot of pains. I've only had $15 come into my bank account in over a month. I have a job I'm not allowed to go back to. I am paying for supplemental insurance. I'm being blocked from my day job receiving that information. I called my boss's boss and she said someone would be in contact with me. He has not gotten in contact with me. It's been since Friday and it's Tuesday. I told her I was in a 911 emergency. Everybody knows. I've reached out to about 25 resources through my local area. I have scheduled an appointment for Friday. There's some progress. However, it's impacted my intestines, and I'm going to cut back on my coffee intake because I, in college, I had gotten the bacterial infection H. pylori, which can cause ulcers, and they believed I had ulcers in my body from college, from the level of stress, anxiety, of the pressure of my studies and my internal thought processes. I've learned how to control my mind, but 14 death threats, attempted kills of me in 3 years, well, 5 years, well, whatever 2018 was to 2023, you do the math, 6 years. The level of pressure and responsibility to be responsible for 1.56 billion people is very high, and the Lord, for whatever reason, decided to pick me, and he trusts me. I need you to pray for my intestines. I need you to pray for my well-being. If I've added value to you, pray for my immunity. The Lord knows my needs financially, and I've made requests on previous episodes, so he wants me to ask you to pray for my gut, because this is impacting my health. I can't even go to a doctor for my car accident until the 23rd. To get physical therapy, because that is how backed up they are. Lawyers are making sure that things are getting paid, but they aren't really speeding up the process for Aaron Nicole. I'm not getting my settlement from the car accident for 3 months, they told me, and I have zero money in my bank account. But I'm trusting. I'm trusting that the Lord is going to provide, and people are going to start stepping up as American Christians or people around the world, because I'm a persecuted Christian in America. I have been for 3 years for you listening to this, because I believe so strongly in this calling, and I'm not going to give up this fight. Nobody's going to bully me out of my house. No one's going to bully me out of this position. No one's going to move me into fear. All of the fear is gone. Fear is not of the Father. So thank you. Thank you for your prayers. I love you guys. Don't forget to tell someone you love them today. And we'll see you next time.